Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Father, thank you for inviting us to bring these requests to you. Lord, it's good for us to do this. It's good for us to just to verbalize and to agree with brothers when there's a need, and just to state it out loud and entrust it into your care. And that's what we want to do tonight and every time we gather, Lord, just to hold one another up in prayer. And Lord, if we go weeks without bringing something up, Lord, we can be lifting up others and their prayer request, and just standing with them or praying with them, standing figuratively with them, but really just doing what a brother should do, to encourage one another and pray for one another. And so, Lord, we want to lift up the Weavers, Joe's daughter, son-in-law, and the kids, his grandkids. And Lord, they've had some obstacles and just handled them so well in the power of your Spirit, and the ministry there in Portugal, and the home church that they've had to take on responsibilities for, and then COVID, then the lockdown, and all the related obstacles that came with it. And Lord, I know Joe knows, I know his kids know, and his grandkids know that you overcome all obstacles. But Lord, there are times when we need to be encouraged. We need to be infused with courage. And that can come through prayer for sure. And so we pray for them, Lord, that you would encourage them in this time, in this hour, as they're far, far away from family, and just need that extra encouragement from you by your Spirit, Lord. So please do that. And Lord, give them wisdom on how to minister to those that they have a heart for, Lord, the lost in that community that they live, the people of the church that they want to help and shepherd and just love on and serve. And Lord, give them wisdom on how they can still do that in some unique way in the interim, Father. Lord, we also want to lift up Bob's mother, and also his son Ryan. As Ryan is just taking on the responsibility, as he does so well, just tending to family stuff like this, and being that kind of advocate, and doing his due diligence, doing the legwork, and just making sure things are right for his grandma and Bob's mom. So Lord, we just bring that before you and pray, Father, for that right facility for her to be moved to, and what would appear to be her final months and years. Lord, that's in your hands for sure. We've probably often tried to guess what kind of time frame that may be for loved ones, and doesn't always work out so well, but you got that. So Lord, our part is just to pray that you would just provide that right spot, that right place at the right time. And Lord, for this infection too, that's obviously an issue, and Lord, praying for healing from that, Lord. Father, also, as Ed reminded us, Lord, we need to bring our political leaders before you, the local level, state level for sure, and the national level. Lord, for the most important thing for sure is their salvation, Lord, to genuinely have, as Ed just said a moment ago, a come to Jesus moment, just that reality that I need Christ, I need a Savior. Lord, that's only going to come when the eyes are opened, and no argument's going to make that happen. It's going to be a work of your Spirit to open their eyes and giving them the opportunity to respond, Lord, to what they see when they see that need, they see that opportunity, they see that provision, Lord. And so we pray for them, Lord. Very easy to bring to ones to mind that are more notable, and that being our Governor Newsom and our President Biden. But Lord, for either one of them to go and to eternity without salvation, without having been reconciled to you, Lord. That's a dark, dark thought. So Lord, please open their eyes that they might know Jesus, your Son, as their Savior, just as he is our Savior, as their Lord, just as he is the Lord of our lives, Lord. God, thank you for how you do that, Lord. Thank you for your Lordship. Thank you for reminding us through your word that you want to do that for us, Lord. You want to be that shepherd for us. You want to be the Lord of our lives. And it's such folly when I think about times that I would question that or not avail myself of that. But Lord, my life, all of our lives, if we're yours, our lives are in your hands, and you've promised to do that. So thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, you have brought us here tonight where we might give you praise, because you're worthy for sure, and it's good for our soul to do it. It's good for us to do it as a group of men. So thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thanks for the opportunity of fellowship. Lord, just the freedom just to be brothers and share if we got something to share, or just hang out, say nothing, and just to be with brothers, enjoy some food, some coffee, and some fellowship, and then Lord, to get into your word, the real food, Lord, the eternal food, the bread of life. So Lord, help us to take that in, to chew on it, and digest it, and walk away with what you want to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. I know that's your desire. That's your heart. So let us, Lord, work with you on that and cooperate and just be open to what you'd be speaking to us and just assimilate it into our lives. Lord, thanks for hearing us out. And Lord, we just declare our love to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, 2 Corinthians is where Todd's going to take us, chapter 3. So 2 Corinthians 3, let's welcome our brother Todd.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Alan, thanks for letting me teach this. It only took me all week. I don't think I got any work done this week. Oh, man. Well, I feel like between Alan's prayer and Mike's intro, I think we've got it. So good night, guys. But no, seriously, though, I think that was confirmation to me that maybe I was on the right track. We'll see. Tonight, as we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be turning some other places. Let me see if I can give you some references here in case you want to follow along. Let's see here. Where's it at? We will be Romans chapter 7. We're going to go to Exodus 19, and I'm going to visit Matthew 27 as well. So you get to work your fingers out a little bit if you want to. It's up to you. So tonight, I'm going to give you a flyover real quick. As we study this chapter, we're going to talk about what it is to have our lives be an epistle of Christ, and how we can make our lives an epistle of Christ. We're going to talk about the old and new covenants, how they complement each other, how they work together for our benefit, not in opposition of each other. And Paul is going to tell us who and what the Holy Spirit is and how he works in our lives and how our ministries are benefited by him. And finally, the glory of the new covenant and the freedom we have in Jesus. Again, I think they both covered it already, but we're just going to revisit it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. I don't know why, but just that very first verse of this chapter, I mean, man, I spent a lot of time there. And it really grabbed me, and I couldn't really figure out what it is. I mean, you definitely sense that Paul's a little ticked, right? That he's rubbed a little raw there on that one. And I don't know why I like that. I like how he responded. There's a little bit of sarcasm there. There's just a sincerity there. There's an authenticity there. And I think this was something God kind of gave me last minute tonight as I kept going, why did that speak to me so much? But I think authenticity is so important, especially for us men. I think in today's culture, especially in the Christian culture, and for guys too, you know, it seems like there's this this effort to come off all perfect, you know what I mean, all politically correct and so on. And man, that just doesn't speak to me. I don't think it speaks to any of us, right? I mean, being authentic is good. And so it's okay to get a little ticked. I mean, Jesus was turning over tables. It's okay to do it as long as we're doing it in God's spirit, right? And so I just really like that. And as Alan said last week, we don't know if there was a previous letter that Alan referred to. All we have is what we have. And in that case, like this one, we can only speculate. So we don't have a direct accusation but it seems that somebody has made one, and that's causing doubt as to Paul's intentions and authority as a minister. And so it seems like this is what he's responding to here. He starts with, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Paul did commend himself in his first letter, speaking on things he had suffered and how he'd preached without payment, etc. And he also sent out letters of commendation, which was and is a good practice. I mean, in his day, I think it was even more so important. So he's not saying that those things are bad. I mean, they were probably a very good idea to do so, because otherwise anyone could roll into town and say, hey, you know, Peter sent me, right? And so it's definitely a good thing. And rather here, the emphasis isn't that that's bad. It's that word again. Do I need to do this again? We all know that guy. You know that guy. I know that guy that if you want to know how great he is, just ask him, right? Paul knew that guy too, I'm sure. And I'm sure Paul was sensitive to the idea that these things that he had previously said are being spun in kind of that light against him. We know his intentions as a minister were not self-serving. We know that he wasn't unqualified. We know he didn't write those things to glorify himself. Rather, he wrote them to encourage and to make specific points. Now, there's nothing wrong with letters of recommendation and letters of commendation or good references. I've been referred by Paul and by several of you guys in business, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than that, right? That's the best kind of advertising there is. And I sincerely appreciate it. Say it again. But if I needed to point out to that customer, hey, you know, and they're comparing me to one of my competitors, well, you know, you got that reference on me, that wouldn't say a lot about me, would it? And that would be pretty cheesy. And I feel like that's kind of what Paul's up against here. And he's kind of pointing that out. What if some guy came to our church who had just gotten his doctorate degree and from the best Bible college in the land, I don't know what that is, but he'd gotten it, you know, and that's a great accomplishment, but he gets it and he comes here and he hears Pastor Bill teach and he says, I should be the one teaching at Refuge. I've got my doctorate. And, you know, we would laugh the guy out of the building with love. But we would laugh him out of the building because that's ridiculous, right? Again, credentials are great, but that would be completely out of line. Marty, you just recently got some credentials. What'd you get, buddy? His MA, his master's. That's awesome, and we celebrate that, Marty, but that's not what qualifies Marty to teach here. That's not what qualifies him. That's not why Alan says, hey, Marty, teach, because I'll tell you what, I don't have a master's, you know? That's clear, right? But we celebrate that in Marty. The thing that qualifies Marty to teach us is that we know Marty's love for God. We know Marty's love for us. We've all gotten a Marty hug, right? Probably more Marty hugs than we wanted, maybe at some point or another. But we've gotten them. I've grown to love them. And it's the recognized gifting in Marty that he has. Mike kind of alluded to giftings in what he was talking about. And us finding what those giftings are. And there's a recognized gifting in Marty that we see. And it's that coupled with his love for God and his love for us that gives Alan the confidence to say, hey, Marty, why don't you lead the study this week? And Marty always rises to the occasion because of his reliance on God to do that. That's what qualifies him. And having that credential is just a further evidence of his love for God and his desire to know God better and to do a better job in doing this. And so we definitely celebrate that. And it's an awesome accomplishment. What Paul is saying in his own defense is this, that these folks and the several others he has ministered to during the course of his ministry, of his life, are his letter of recommendation. That this letter is written on their hearts and not by him as the author, but by Christ himself. Paul is saying that he's just the instrument, he's just the pen, and Jesus is that author. Verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, continuing on, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And yes, this letter of Christ through your life is encouraged by us, Paul says, but not because of us, but because of the Spirit of the living God inside of us. And anything we try to do for God, without God, is not going to have that same stuff. It's not going to have that same stick. It's not going to last. And what we do following the lead of His Spirit is and is with His Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit does it, you know it's going to have that stuff to stick. It's not going to fade. Ink and stone can fade. God's Spirit does not fade. Paul is saying only our only motive was and is to obey God, calling. And if there's a fruit from that, it's not because of us, it's because of God. And that's what qualifies us, is that fruit that he's calling out, that he's saying is in them. I can say relying on the Holy Spirit is a big deal, especially every time I do this. My limited teaching experience, I've done it, you know, where it's been a Todd, and I've done it where it's been a God. And when it's been a God, man, you just know. It's wonderful. And when it's a Todd, it's just like, you know that too. That's not so wonderful. And so you always want it to be of God. And I can say, with regard to worship and leading worship with Vic and Mike, there's a lot of times where Vic will show up and he's like, yeah, here's the song, you know, and we've never even heard the song before, let alone played it, you know, and we're obviously not some amazing band, and we're, you know, just guys reading guitar tabs, right? You know, and so we're trying to pick up this song. We have to rely on God. And it's amazing. I'd say, like, that's probably one of the more evidences for us, right, Vic and Mike, how often we walk out of that, like, whoa, that was the Lord, man. That was so cool. Relying on God, man, that's where it's at. Asking for a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit, that's where it's at. This last verse here, verse 6, where he says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul expresses well this idea also in Romans, if you want to turn to that, if you were saving your spot. Romans 7. I'll start reading it while you're getting there. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. It's kind of like when you tell your kid, don't touch that because you're going to get burned. You got to watch them, you know, because you know that, like, moths to a flame, man. And I can't help but think of Adam and Eve, right? God's like, you can eat of all the garden except for that one tree. You know, that's just the way it is with people. And the law exposed that to us. When we receive Christ, we are freed from that. Yes, we are still tempted, but we have the power to resist. And more so, we have the Spirit to know when something is not right and that it will lead us where we don't want to go. Just like the efforts made to follow the letter of the law caused the Jews to miss the entire spirit of it. Jesus had many examples of this. I can't help but think of the time when he's walking with his disciples and they start picking, you know, heads of grain off just to pop a little snack on their way. And it was like, oh, you're harvesting the fields. You're working. You know, I mean, talk about just like Jesus, like, whoa, you know. The law or the Sabbath was not, or man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. You know, you guys are completely missing the point. And it's the same thing in our lives. You know, I don't want to get political with you guys. Don't get me started. I'm not going to go there. But talking about Newsom, there's this recall thing going around, right? And if you go to sign one of those recall notices, a lot of those recalls, they're on the paper, they've got stickers on them, basically, so that you could only sign on your line. Because if your signature goes outside the line into another line, well, not only could that make your signature no longer valid, but that could also ruin the whole page of signatures. Is that the spirit of that law? Is that really the idea? I mean, that's how we can twist things as man. And I think about an actual law, right? Jaywalking, there's one. We've all played Frogger at one time or another. But I'm not even talking about Frogger jaywalking. I'm talking about middle of the night, there's no cars out, right? And you just cross the street. You broke the letter of the law, but did you break the spirit of the law? That law is there to protect you, right? If there's no cars, you're not in danger. And that's the way we can twist things. And that's the way man does twist things. It isn't that the Holy Spirit replaces that written law, guys. It's that, or that it's the Holy Spirit is the enemy to it. It's not the enemy to it, but it completes and it fulfills the work of the written law in our hearts. The two work together. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. The letter does not change a man's heart. It simply tells them what not to do. The Spirit changes a man's heart and it helps them to do what they should do. We still need the letter. We still need our Bibles. That's the full counsel of God. That's how we test things. That's how we're encouraged and that's how we're corrected. But the Spirit gives us the ability to live it and to live it well. And that's how the two work together. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. I need a water drink after that. The old covenant was the ministry of death. There was sacrificing of animals that had to be made to pay for our sins. And because we still can't live up to it, we can't be saved by it. The issue is not the law, though. The issue is us. Again, if we go back to Romans 7, verse 5, it says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. It was glorious, though, guys. There was glory associated with the giving of the law and the old covenant. In Exodus 19, if you mark that, you can turn there. In Exodus 19, verse 16, it says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in camp trembled, and then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain, and so Moses went up. That's awesome, man. That was glorious. But also, the glory of the old covenant was shown in the face of Moses and the glory of his countenance. The reflection of God's glory onto Moses' face was so much, though, that the people could not look even upon him. And what Paul is saying is, even though they couldn't look upon that glory, that reflection, it was a reflection that was fading. His face didn't glow all the time, is what Paul's saying, right? It would fade over time. And again, Paul's not dissing that. He's not disregarding the glory of the old covenant. But rather, he's pointing out that if that fading glory was glorious, how much more glorious is the new covenant, as it will not fade. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Paul is saying, we can be bold because our hope is in a more glorious covenant, which means we have more hope, and we have more hope so we can speak boldly or with more confidence. Again, Paul is responding to, we call them haters, right? These accusations that we don't have, but we can kind of figure out what's going on here. These persons were most likely pointing out his lack of achievement among his own people, which I'm sure was a sore spot for Paul, because we know he desired for them to know God. But we also know that wasn't on Paul. The success, and Alan alluded to this earlier, the success of someone coming to the Lord is between everyone, themselves, and God. For many Jews to this day, the veil is still between them and coming to know Jesus to this day. They're still looking to the law instead of its author and finisher. A lot of people are like that, you know, for not Israel, not the Jew. A lot of people are like that. This idea that all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you and accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. That's just too easy, right? People do not like easy. And I love this metaphor that Paul uses of the veil of Moses, because it reminds me of another veil, 20 feet wide, 60 feet long, 4 inches thick. I mean, I don't know how much that thing weighed, but heavy. And that was the veil of the temple when Jesus was crucified, gave up his spirit for us. In Matthew 27, we'll look at that account. Matthew 27, verse 51. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. That is glorious. 60 feet, 4 inches thick, end to end, guys. Not just kind of torn. We're talking Hulk Hogan, torn. And that's why I have no problem bowing at his feet. And I thank him that he lifted the veil that separated me from him. But more so, he lifted the veil that allowed me to see him in the first place. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, Paul's saying, we know this already, but Paul's saying to these guys, and we're going to reiterate to ourselves right now, the Holy Spirit is God, which means that we are the temple of God. Because he lives inside of us. And as Moses had the liberty to remove his veil when he went into tabernacle with God, we have the liberty to live our lives that way. To have a real ongoing day-to-day real relationship. Not liberty to pervert God's word in our lives, to twist it to fit our, you know, whatever we think is right. But to know him, to walk with him, to be bold and to be confident in him. To know we're forgiven. And as this last verse says, from glory to glory, forgiven, guys, but not perfect. Allowing the Holy Spirit to correct and to mold us until the day we see him face to face. Not as a somewhat obscured likeness, like the old mirrors, right? Not, we're not talking about mirrors of our day and age that are, in my opinion, are too accurate. But we're talking about the mirrors of old that were made of metal that obscured the likeness. But we'll look him eye to eye. We'll see him. And hopefully he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And so there you have it, guys. Since we have the Holy Spirit, we are the epistle of Christ. And that is clear for all to see and for all to read. And we have the fulfillment of the law written on our hearts. And we are free to know God in a real way, to be authentically ourselves as Christian men, not perfect, but growing in his likeness from glory to glory with his help. Father, I didn't pay attention to the time. I never do. Lord, thanks for speaking to me in this study. I hope you spoke to these guys too, Lord, and anybody watching online. I hope it was you that did it, and I hope it was God and not Todd. And that's what I sincerely wanted, and I trust and I have faith that that's what happened, God, because I brought it to you ahead of time. And so, Lord, encourage the men to do that every day, Lord. Help us to always want a fresh anointing and a fresh feeling of your Holy Spirit, to rely on that and to seek out those gifts, those giftings that we all have, God, individual giftings and several, as Mike alluded to. We probably have several. God, help us to ask, hey, God, what other thing am I good at? What else can I do for you? Help me to do that tomorrow, Lord, tonight. Help us all to do that, to really want to do those things, man, because I tell you, God, it feels good. Feels good when we know we're walking in step with you. Thanks for tonight, God. Thanks for these guys, for the friendship, and for being authentically you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.